Hi guys, Pride of Detroit here. It's more just me, Chris Perfett here. I really don't know. I've kind of gone rogue here a little bit. I hope you will stick with me because this isn't really Lions related, but it is Detroit sports media related. And that's, I feel like that can be really unifying sometimes because we all consume this stuff. You're all Lions fans that you're listening to this. And tonight we're going to talk about a piece of Detroit sports radio. And I mean, they talk about the Lions, so it works. It works out here. And to help me do this, help this to take this over, that chuckling Texas voice there is my friend Hunter Cook from the Austin Statesman. He writes for Big 12 diehards as well. He's a Texas boy, but more importantly, he is a fan of college football and all of the weird, angry, and strange, evil things that happens in the realm of college football, which really feels like Texas sometimes. It's a wild land of just insanity. And at one point in 2006, Hunter, that insanity merged with Detroit sports radio.
Yes, it absolutely did. And I'd say that I'm a connoisseur of outrage. If you just navigate to the team forums, the instant a big college football team loses, and it is just post after post after post of, you know, this guy should be fired, this guy sucks, and then there's, you know, some guy over there yelling about Trump, and everyone's like, why are you doing that on Saturday night? It's awesome. But no, this is easily, as a quote-unquote connoisseur of outrage, this is my favorite rant of all time. And we're going to talk about why this rant is just so incredible. And it is Mike Valenti ranting after the 2006 Michigan State Notre Dame game.
So again, for those who don't know, Mike Valenti is one half of Valenti and Foster in the mornings on 97.1 The Ticket FM station in Detroit. They used to carry the Lions games. And actually, Apocrypha is that the reason why the Lions are no longer on 97.1 is because of Valenti and Foster. Because according to them in CBS, that Valenti and Foster just would not stop trashing the Lions. That apparently made it. It's not the current president. It wasn't Tom Wood. I think it was under Tom Lewan. So someone there under Tom Lewan was just very mad about Valenti and Foster and just how they treated the Lions. I mean, for good measure, it's your product. It's whatever it is. A lot of times, 97.1, they fall into what's the same old Lions talk. But Valenti is also a massive Michigan State homer.
Yes. He's awesome.
Yeah. And this is what happened is that, give some background on the 06 game. What happened with Notre Dame and Michigan State? Because Michigan State was really good going into 06.
Yeah, they have this massive stacked team, or not stacked, but definitely like better than your average team. They were 3-0, so was Notre Dame. Notre Dame is ranked number 12 at the time. We're talking Michigan State in the Drew Stanton, Javon Ringer phase. This is actually, for a little Lions context, this is 1 year before Golden Tate gets to Notre Dame. So it is Notre Dame going to play at Michigan State. You got your big rival. It's at home. You have this big chance to beat them. And going into the fourth quarter, you are up 37-21.
Michigan State is. Yeah. They're just kicking butt.
Michigan State just annihilating this Brady Quinn and Jeff Samardzija-led team. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, here come the Golden Domers. And with 2 minutes and 53 seconds left, you have an interception return for a touchdown that ices the game for Notre Dame. They were throwing with 2 minutes and 53 seconds left.
Yeah, and Notre Dame had already started the comeback. Notre Dame had already started the comeback. They are just rocking and rolling in the fourth quarter, and it just looked like there is nothing Michigan State can do to stop this. And yeah, the Drew Stanton interception is just the icing on the cake. It is the final insult to a great game for Michigan State that sees Notre Dame walk out of there with Charlie Weiss, that fat jerk watch out walk out of there with an improbable victory, just blubbering about his win.
Yeah, just and to walk off on an interception return. And oh man, I can't imagine the levels of like sad and just meltdown that are happening in that stadium. You're going into the fourth quarter. You're up by 16 points. And then you lose it all in the space of, you know, 12 minutes of game time, probably about 45 minutes of real time.
Yeah, I mean, it's
incredible.
This is fascinating because it wasn't even the biggest, like, massive comeback, because that year was also the year of the Rose Bowl with USC and Texas. Like, and Vince Young just coming down 15 points to win the national title over the Trojans, who are just a goddamn juggernaut that year with Pete Carroll. But we're talking mostly about Michigan State and Notre Dame because it's not even that it was the most remarkable collapse for Michigan State. It's not even that this is the most improbable comeback for Notre Dame. It's that Mike Valenti was in the crowd, and the next day, soaked from the driving rain, he comes into the 97.1 studios and starts very calmly with,
I will throw the phone number out to the people if you have thoughts on Michigan State, Notre Dame, get them out. But let me start by saying this. There is a 50-50 split with blame for Michigan State's outright choke job.
And what happens after this is 15 minutes of just the most intense audio meltdown you will find anywhere in America.
He's screaming at you for 15 straight minutes. There's a point in which his partner tells him, like, hey, you're gonna lose your voice. I don't care.
Yeah, Terry Foster is and the producers are trying to get him to drink water. They're trying to get him to drink hot tea because this is a man who the Saturday before was like losing his voice screaming and is now coming in here just hollering again. Like, and there's just no way, like Terry's even like, you don't know what's happening to your body right now. You don't know what's happening. And Mike doesn't
care. It's a literal miracle that he did not have to have like surgery on some part of his like vocal cords or voice box, whatever.
He didn't go silent. Like, this is radio.
Yes.
This is not like, you can't just be gesticulating wildly. You need your voice to do this on radio. Like,
incoherently screaming into the void. He's trying to yell. And this is coming out. Like, he never gets to that point, which is what makes it impressive too. Mm-hmm. He is screaming for that solid amount of time. Like, just nonstop. It's incredible. And I have notes because I watched it, or not watched, I listened to it again before you first hopped on. Mm-hmm. I have choking noise. What is an irrelevant number? Choked on applesauce? ? All caps again. What is puckering? And I think John L. Smith is a good coach.
An out and out choke job. Choke.
Man, we didn't need that this morning, buddy boy.
Like, that is that's
the last
all
one's
that,
kind
I,
of
I,
insane.
Like, he goes in on everyone except Drew Stanton and John L. Smith. Not on players specifically. He specifically says, like, I'm going to steer clear of the players. But he's, like, screaming for the defensive coordinator's head. It is impressive. He yells about cover zero for, I think, a solid 60 seconds of just this borderline nonsensical bellowing. It's awesome. I'm a personal fan of yelling choked on applesauce because, like, I guess it's like hard to choke on. I guess that is the point to that. But even then, it just kind of like doesn't. It's out there. Like, where are you coming up with this? What is going through your poor, broken Spartan mind right now? It's incredible. But all the choking noises he makes, the puckering noises,
pucker
which
pucker
just,
pucker.
Yeah, but yeah, pucker pucker. Like, in. It's deranged. It's deranged, and it's beyond what we would call normal, like, Homer sports talk radio yelling where, oh, man, I think these, you know, dadgum officials are they're screwing us, but which is par for the course down here in Texas. But it is beyond that. I don't think he yelled about officiating once.
He didn't, not he once. Won, yeah, that's, yeah.
He won, which is, I feel, is criminally underrated. He's not ranting about the media being fair to him.
It's all directed towards Michigan State because he saw that and he's just mad at Michigan State. And to your point too, like the coordinators, there's some great lines in here about Chris Schmeling, who was the defensive coordinator at the time, about the zero blitzes. There's a lot of lines about throwing at home at night in a monsoon.
In a monsoon. His voice, like. Yeah, his voice kicks up like a little bit higher when he says monsoon.
But I think it gives me one of my favorite lines, and I find it criminal that this hasn't been used more, referenced more, because I think this entire rant should be referenced more when we're joking about sports. But he says the line,
I would rather have HR Puffin stuff with Teddy Ruxpin as an assistant than to have you in this booth one more week. You're atrocious!
And the reason, and again, this is kind of the nom de guerre about what, I mean, we're having you on basically because the background is that you, me, and a guy named Ross, who is a Michigan State fan, we used to do a college football podcast where I came to Pride Detroit called Make Plays. And why do we call it Make Plays? It's from this rant, because this is the name of the rant. It's the Make Plays rant.
I'm disgusted with the guys that strap on those uniforms. Make plays! You're at home! At night, third largest crowd in the history of that stadium, with a 37-21 lead. Make plays! Don't sit there and pucker! Make plays! You don't sit there and turn to your quarterback and with a puppy dog look and say, help us! We don't know what we're doing out here! Help us! Make plays! Stand together as a team and make plays.
Because
it's silent. It is silent in that studio for 5 seconds before and after he just yells, make plays.
Yeah, just make in plays! A strangled voice. And that is just ultimately the zeitgeist of what he was arguing for, is that this, like, that's who he was. Because it's a capture, again, of who Valenti was on that night. On that Saturday, was a man just wanting that his team to do anything, something, anything, anything to stop this bleeding, and nothing happens. The bleeding keeps going. The beast dies because it's been bled out. There's no more blood left, and Valenti is just spent, but he just can't let it go. He keeps thinking there's going to be one more play, and he's just begging Michigan State to make that one more play.
One first down. And they can't
make one play, and they can't because the clock's already at zero.
Yeah, they can't. It's done. It's over. And this is Notre Dame. And all offense to Chris, no one really likes Notre Dame in the college football world.
No, like, I'm at USC now. I agree.
Oh yeah, nobody likes them. They're on their own weird little TV network. They are the elitist pricks of the college football world. If you know nothing about college football, they're not liked. They are especially not liked by, like, Michigan State, USC. But they are not – it's not like they are the lovable underdogs who are good, or they're just a moderate to good team. They're despised.
And
everyone
hates
Rudy. Rudy was offsides.
Let's give some context here, too, because those Charlie Weiss teams were always getting overrated, and they would always just crap the bed. Like,
yes,
Charlie Weiss was not a good coach.
No, not at all. And it's the same with Brady Quinn. Everyone's talking about, oh, he had all this pro potential. And y'all know more than anyone, he freaking collapsed because he never was that fantastic in college. And they always had all of this talent. All of this talent. And they never really did anything with it because they beat up on teams that typically weren't that good.
Yeah, they'd always beat up on, like, Boston College and Navy.
Yeah, and they'd schedule some of their bigger games, like a game against USC, a lot later in the year as opposed to earlier, and they can do whatever they want because they're Notre Dame. They're independent.
But, like, again, this is just who is coming in here doing this, and I think that factors into Valenti's mind breaking. And I just find it fascinating because, again, Notre Dame, Michigan State, they're meeting this weekend again, and it's always a great time to dust this one off because people will play this rant because it is one of the great rants out there. And Mike Valenti is, I mean, I wouldn't say 97.1 is necessarily diminished. Valenti and Foster is one of the most listened to nationwide local sports talk radio shows. So it's not a national show, it's a local one, but people, and this is kind of a point with Detroit people, Michigan people, you know, we're spread, we're, a lot of people are spread out across the country. It's the old joke about the Red Wings. Red Wings fans are everywhere. That's because there was people who left Michigan because a lot of jobs dried up from Michigan early and a lot of people left Michigan. Mm-hmm. But that's why it was so big. And now Valenti, I need to actually sit here and look this up real quick because I know Valenti was looking at the WFAN job, which very famous radio station in New York City. You know, Mike and the Mad Dog were there. It mm-hmm. was it was Mike Francesa, Mike Russo. So last news I see here, back in July, he was auditioning for WFAN. I haven't seen if anything's happened. But this is kind of that's kind of the thing. Like, you know, this is this great Detroit sports figure. Say, I want to use a bit of scare quotes here, but it's true. You know, he think of him as you are. He trashes the Lions nonstop. That doesn't make Lions fans happy. But this was a guy who's defined Detroit sports radio for a very long time. Valenti and Foster was Detroit's Mike and the Mad Dog. Is Detroit's Mike and the Mad Dog, and if he goes to New York, that's a piece of Detroit that's just missing. And I think I know Pride of Detroit, we've talked about some of the other people filling in on 97.1. They're not good. They don't have opinions and know how to like making takes is, I think, a little more of an art than people want to give it to. It's a crap art. It's an art of
agreed. Yes.
It's an art of rolling dung balls. But
and this is not like the most impressive thing about this rant. And I think the most impressive thing in general is not, or the impressive things. Let's go multiple. It's 15 sustained minutes, and it's very real. He is screaming at you, but he's screaming at you like Chris B. Brown would do, smart football. He's talking about realistic
it's
things.
Coming from a heart. It's coming from the heart. It's yes, not a cynical
it's
take.
It's coming from the heart.
That was always my problem with a guy like.
Real.
Yeah, that was always my problem with a guy like Colin Cowherd, because Colin Cowherd doesn't really – I don't feel like Colin Cowherd, when he's on the radio, it makes you feel like he cares about anything except for himself and his opinion.
Yeah, they don't want it enough. Like, you're just trying to dunk on that person. This is the cry of a desperate man. Like we talked about before, he's not blaming the officiating. He's not blaming anyone else. He's not talking about the cheating domers. He is talking about Michigan State, and he is so desperate for them to do anything. It is a truly unique rant in all of those aspects, and it's criminally under-listened to. There's no reason why this shouldn't be, you know, premier, like up there with Mike Gundy yelling about how he's a man, he's 40, or any of the Mike and the Mad Dog stuff. Like, it is all of those things coalesced into one, like, he's not sitting – and again, back to that, he's not sitting there yelling about, oh, this should have been pass interference. He says, why are you in cover zero? Why did you bring the house twice in a row?
It's clear that he cares about Michigan
yes.
State. That is the
he
thing.
No, and he knows. Yes, he knows something about the sport, which is something I cannot say for anyone who will sit up there and offer up analysis like, I just don't think they wanted it enough. Like, what in the world is that? Like, how do you accurately measure, oh, they didn't want it? And besides, how do you put like that intention onto someone? I don't get it. It's a bad take, and it should never be used, but it's a staple of sports radio.
It is an
absolute staple. It happens all the time. It happened in Dallas with the Cowboys absolutely melting down against the Broncos. A lot of talk of, oh, maybe they didn't want it enough. Where's Zeke's head at? And they just got whipped. It's one game. Get over it. It's fine.
We're going to wrap it up there, though. And again, we're going to post the link. It was once on YouTube. Someone else had it. It was like a Notre Dame person had it for a long time, and they had a great series of video of the game attached to it, along with very helpful pictures of all the people. Because I think it was made funnier if you watch that YouTube thing, because they had a picture of Chris Schmeling. And he's not exactly a man who looks very sympathetic. And they had pictures of John L. Smith kind of like, you know, half-heartedly mumbling. It was very funny. It got taken down. 97.1, the Ticket, has put up their own version with just a static image. There's something lost with that, I feel like. Like, it was made even funnier with the very bad YouTube video.
But I'm just glad that we still have it. It's a perfect gem of sports radio. The finest 15 minutes ever produced, and it will stand the test of time.
Well, we're going to, again, we're going to put the link here, and I encourage everyone to listen to it because it's a bit of history. I consider it all football history. It's Detroit sports history, and that's why we had you on. Hunter Cook, C-O-K-E, but it's all spelled backwards for your Twitter handle, which makes it really infuriating to find you on Twitter.
It's just E-K-O-O-C-R-E-T-N-U-H.
Yeah, no one's going to remember that.
I don't care. I'd rather stay as anonymous as I can on Twitter.com, honestly.
You got in trouble with your old bosses. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we can talk more about that off the while we're not recording.
But anyway, you write for the Austin Statesman. You write for Big 12 diehards. You're very good with college football and Texas high school football. So if you're ever interested in that stuff, hey, you know, Matt Stafford, he came from Texas high school football.
This is true. This is true.
As Monday Night Football will constantly remind us with him and Clayton Kershaw going to the same damn high school. We know.
Dude, like, to Highland, and I think Bomani Jones said it too, because Bomani's from Houston. To Highland Park kids getting rich. Yeah, whatever. That's not a surprise.
Yeah.
We're talking about, and I'm sure this is not going to get beaten down by anyone this season either.
They just brought up Clayton Kershaw and we just did the jerking off voices.
Highland Park also has, I think, like Jerry Jones's like great nephew or something. It's Stephen. Yeah. You know, it's Stephen Jones' son. He's the starting senior quarterback for Highland Park. And he led the team to a state championship last year.
Okay,
and I was there.
We're going to cut it off here because I think this is kind of, we're losing the people. Again, Hunter Cook, look for his stuff if you like this stuff. And again, insights into Highland Park, this kind of stuff. He's got encyclopedic knowledge of Texas high school football. He likes League of Legends. He likes all sorts of stuff. And once again, we used to run a college football podcast called Make Plays, and it's because of Mike Valenti that we were able to do it. So thank you,
Mike. You're my favorite.
Adequate, as we would say on the Pride of Detroit podcast. So goodbye, everyone.